The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Time to get into our top stories this hour. So about an hour ago, I had just gotten a text from a listener about a woman who had pooped on 3rd and James just moments earlier. And I said, ooh, let's start, we'll start getting Dory Monson Show alerts anytime you see people defecating in public. But there's no way there's this many people going in. I'm looking at our text.
No way.
There aren't that many.
We're getting punked.
I know, yes. I'm not buying. Somebody suggested, though, instead of an Amber alert, that we just call it a Dory Monson Show brown alert.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's gross. And then this one just touched my heart. I don't know what we were talking about at the moment this person texted, but from the 206, I'm on my way to put my daughter's horse down.
Oh.
Couldn't possibly be any sadder, and you just made me laugh. Thank you so much. Pray for Raven, the super horse. That made
That's
me
so
sad.
Hard.
And oh, I can. It's awful. It's putting down.
We're
pets.
Thinking of you.
Yes, we are indeed. So before I get to the local stories, I've got a lot of local news I want to talk about. Did you hear the audio I played yesterday about the woman in St. Louis who? She was taking her dog out to go to the bathroom, and it's kind of a luxury apartment building.
Mm.
And a black guy who lives there started to come into the building. She was propping the
door
open.
Oh, I saw it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So infuriated.
Okay, I want you to listen. We have an update to this story. Okay. And I want this would be a great You Be the Jury. So here's what we played yesterday, and then I will give you the update. But this woman is propping the door open while her dog goes to the bathroom. And then a black guy who lives in the building, she's a white woman, a black guy who lives in the building, he starts to walk in. She blocks the doorway, and she says, I don't know who you are. Well, here, listen.
Please move, ma'am.
I can. Okay. Do you live here?
Yeah, I asked that question. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. The keypad is right there.
Okay. I understand that, ma'am.
You can film me. That's
okay.
Fine.
I understand, ma'am, but you're blocking me.
Into my building.
Okay, and it's my building as well, so I need you to get out of my way.
Okay, what unit?
I don't need to say that information. So excuse me, ma'am.
I'm uncomfortable.
Excuse me. Okay, you can be uncomfortable. That's your discretion. You're uncomfortable because of you. I need you to move out of my way, please.
No.
Ma'am, please stop touching me.
I'm not touching you.
You just was previously. Before.
I'm not touching you at all.
So I'm going to step in.
I'm not touching you, and I'm not in any way doing anything outside of letting my dog go to the bathroom.
Okay, and I live here, and you're blocking the door.
What unit?
I don't need to tell you that. What unit do you live in?
307.
Okay. Great. I'm on the fourth floor. Excuse me.
No. You don't have a key fob. You are... No.
No. No.
Okay, and this guy, his name is Darion Tolls. He does live in the building. He's just trying to go home. He just wants to get to his apartment, and she will not let him in.
Ma'am. If you have that, then okay.
Ma'am, you're not security. You're not the property manager. You're not Mike Herman.
No, but I live here.
Okay, and I live here, too. You're not Mike Herman. You're not Rick.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I paid.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building. You're not the owner. You pay rent.
Sir, you walked up on a street.
Yes, and I've already buzzed in.
You did not.
Okay, man, it does not even matter. Can you get out of my way?
No. Can you show me the key fob into this building?
I'm not showing you anything. In a second, ma'am, I'm bound to walk through where I live at. So.
No.
Okay.
Okay, and then he kind of pushes his way past her.
No.
And the video goes on. I'm not going to keep playing it. But she follows him up to
the
fourth floor as he puts his key in his door, goes into his apartment or condo. And then that's when the video ends. But he talked to the local news, and I played this for you yesterday. And then I'm going to give you the update today. But he sounded like just the coolest guy when he talked to the local news, too.
I was kind of blown away, like shocked. Wow. I'm just glad I had my camera out. Because if I didn't have my camera out, I feel that it could have went a totally different way. I appreciate all the love and support. And like I said, this, don't respond negative. Don't go after the lady. Let her be at peace. Let her live her life. I'm not even mad at her. I'm not upset with her. I'm not going to go after her legally or anything like that. I wish her the best. Still have a conversation with her, a presentable conversation with her.
So he says he doesn't want anyone to go after her. Well, she got fired from her job right after that video went viral. It got millions of views right after that.
Oh, yeah. I saw it was shared quite a bit.
Have you heard the update?
No.
Okay. So she talked to the local news. She said, I want to give my side of the story.
Good.
So here, her name is Hillary Thornton. And she said, first of all, she was being caught. And she says their condo association has stressed in multiple memos, if you have a door propped open, you cannot let anybody walk in, which is exactly our policy here at Bonneville. We have a back door that we can't enter, but we can go out. Mm-hmm. And they say, absolutely, do not let somebody. And you know me.
My parents live in a condo, and I cannot walk in without them letting me in.
Right. And like here at work, I don't remember anybody's face. I have no idea who works in this building. So if I have the door open, somebody starts to walk in the open door, I'm supposed to say, no, I'm sorry, you have to go to the front door where we have, you know, two doors you have to go through. So anyway, the woman, Hillary Thornton, she says she was just being cautious.
So when I noticed an individual that I did not know, my only intent was to follow the direction that I had been given by our condo association board members repeatedly, and that is to never allow access to any individual that you do not know.
And she has lots of memos from the condo association repeatedly telling every resident, if you do not know the person, you cannot let them in the building. And she says that she asked him if she could see his key fob. He didn't show it to her. And she says she was just trying to figure out who he was.
And I simply asked if he lived there. Mm-hmm. Because the direction from the condo association is so repeated that if you don't know the person, you do not let them in.
And she says he refused to show her his key fob.
That's the only indicator that any resident has that they live in that building. He would not answer me. He would not show me one.
And she says when he kind of pushed his way past her when she was trying to follow the rules.
Did he force his way in?
There was an altercation at the front door, and that's how he got into the building.
Do we see that on video?
You do not. The camera was pointed at the ground. But you hear me say something along the lines of, oh my gosh, are you serious? To which he replied, go ahead and call the police.
So the man's video's gotten millions of views. As Ursula, you just said, it's been shared, you know, just an incredible amount of times. And she has, and the reason she wanted to speak out is because she's being called a racist because she wouldn't let a black guy in.
When you're called a racist, how does that make you feel?
That is absolutely false and heartbreaking.
And she says that same thing happens again, she'd do the same thing.
No, I do not think that I did anything wrong. I upheld the ask of me to its fullest extent.
And a neighbor supports her.
Would you have done the same thing?
I do it all the time. I've had even UPS drivers, FedEx, they'll stand and look at me and they'll say, I won't even ask. I said, I'm not going to let you in unless you buzz the resident you're going to or have your code. It's in order to protect everyone that lives there.
Now that you've heard her side of things, do you think we maybe rushed to judgment on the woman?
I think both are at fault.
Is she at fault?
Because
she followed every rule.
Well, yes, but to the point where it's like, okay, you know what? Here's the deal. I mean, because I watched that whole thing, and I think she could have said something to the effect, you know what? Our rule here. Do you mind if I just call the manager or the building manager real quick or whatever?
You know what
our rule is right now.
You know what the solution is? Yeah. I think it's probably what you were going to say
exactly.
When you say he was at fault too.
Yes,
he should have just said, hey, shut the door. Go ahead, shut the door, and I'll let myself in.
Yeah,
and then it's over with.
Yeah,
it's over with. He goes, I understand. Just shut the door and I'll let myself in. I won't try to walk in the door you're propping open.
And you have to understand his life as a black man who, and this is what I hear from many of my friends who are black, who say on a daily basis,
that is
what they face all the time.
But do we have any idea if she does that to white people? She says she does. She says she does it to everybody. And the other neighbors say that. I don't know. But she was following the rules. She could have gotten kicked out of the building if she had let somebody in who didn't live
there.
Or
she could have let someone in and someone could have harmed her. Or harmed other people.
Or that. I'm trying to figure out how she is at all to blame when she followed the letter of the rules. And I think all this talk about racism, which was my initial reaction yesterday, this is an example of how unbelievably unfair social media is, and the rush. She lost her job.
Agree. And I.
She lost her job.
The thing that was even more upsetting, too. I mean, so now I didn't. I mean, the losing her job. You know, there were people making threats. There were people like trying to track down her husband, what he did, trying to ruin him. I mean, there's so much evil on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
and,
yeah. That's...
And after hearing her side of things and hearing about the repeat and knowing what our policy is here at Cairo,
yeah.
where we cannot prop a door open and let somebody in if we don't absolutely yeah. know who they are.
I mean, it escalated too quickly. If they could have just said, hey, you know, neighbor,
But she doesn't know if he's
well,
a neighbor.
Or just, hey, you know, just understand this is what, because I've had to deal with this every time I get in my parents'
he
building.
He should have just said, shut the door, I'll let myself in.
Yeah.
And then it's over
Absolutely.
With.
That's why I said.
Then it's over.
Both, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she's to blame at all after hearing that she was following every single rule. And I understand if you're a black guy in America, I understand feeling like you're being targeted because of your skin color. But there's no evidence of that. And the fact that social media just decides to put that in there without any evidence that that's actually the case. I think that, first of all, I think she's got a gigantic lawsuit against the employer who fired her. They fired her because she followed every rule in her residence. That makes no sense at all. So we'll see how that one turns out. But that's the new information from the story that's gone so far. And I wonder if the audio of her explaining it will go 1/100th as viral as the video of the initial incident. Because I guarantee it won't, and there will forever be this image of this woman that will always be out there of, you know, the racist who wouldn't let the black guy in. And there's simply zero evidence to support that point of view. I mean, it could be the case, but I don't know what's in her head and in her heart, and neither does anybody else on social media. Okay, with that is Mir Prelude. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Cairo 7, our news partners, Lindsay Sheldon, the reporter, and their digital director, Casey McNerthney, they did such a great job on this story. Do you remember this audio from several months ago where a guy in Seattle, he is just screaming the N-words. He's a white guy. He's screaming the N-words down by Beacon Hill. Talking about how white people... Now, you want a real racist. Here's your real racist. This 35-year-old guy, Stephen Watts, who was caught on a cell phone screaming a racial rant.
Put your hands on me, I ain't gonna put my... I'm gonna kill you,
You gotta kill me? Come on,
You putting cameras on me? Come on.
I am.
Put cameras, I run this country. I run this country, you don't. You put cameras. I run this country, you guys are dead.
Okay. I run this country, you guys are dead. Does that sound like a physical threat to you?
Look at that dog right there.
Get out of here.
Get the out of here?
I didn't say that. It's not that.
Are you running with these? Get the out of my face. You run with these?
You get out of this neighborhood. You're in the wrong neighborhood.
Wrong neighborhood? My people are going to bury you. Look at this. Yeah, I'm the president. Shut the out. Your neighborhood?
Yeah.
We built these streets.
No, they didn't.
White man built these streets.
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did. White man built these streets.
White men built these streets. So the guy was identified. He was arrested, and he went to court. And that's when it gets real interesting. Our dope-smoking city attorney, Pete Holmes' office, said, you know what punishment he should get? This is a guy who's got a history of escalating, you know, mental violence issues on the streets. He said, I'll kill you. He, at one point, lunged towards somebody with his fists balled up like he was going to try to knock them out on the street. So this guy goes to court. And the Seattle city attorney, whose job is public safety, whose job is to protect innocent people, to protect us from guys like this, he said, I will do a plea deal with you. Just 20 days in jail. And then we'll let you back out on the streets. Well, bless her heart, the judge, the Seattle municipal judge, her name's Kimmy Kondo, She told, even though it was the prosecuting attorney, the Seattle City attorney, who arranged a plea deal of only 20 days, she said, are you kidding me? What this guy did, just 20 days? Cairo 7 got the courtroom audio.
Into a 20-day recommendation on the plea, I'm not going to take this. I've been dealing with Mr. Watts, and these were hate crimes, and he's not an appropriate candidate for probation at all, and I think that the city is just being remiss, and there's a complete disregard for public safety with this city recommendation. So,
what more do you need to know about leadership in Seattle? When a judge tells the city attorney, Pete Holmes' office, you have a complete disregard for public safety. That is the story of our region right now. We're letting the heroin addicts take over the streets. We're letting the mentally ill take over the streets. And that is a shocking rebuke to have a sitting municipal judge tell the city attorney, you have a complete disregard for public safety with this recommendation. And that's because this guy has, as the judge said, that he has a history, he'd been before her before, that he has some mental illness problems. And then Cairo 7 has been trying for weeks to talk to the city attorney's office, and they refuse. They refuse. And I know that Pete Holmes has to get done with his day so he can go, is it smoke a bowl? Is that the right drug terminology there?
Yes, I think your parlance is correct.
Do you smoke bowls?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I'm not really conversant with the language.
I think you're up to the lingo.
Of the underworld. But I know Pete Holmes, he's got to finish his workday so he can go smoke a bowl. But why don't you explain to Cairo 7, why don't you explain to us why you would take a guy who has a history of escalating mental health issues, who is arrested for screaming the N-word, for screaming about the supremacy of white people, for screaming about I'll kill you, and why Pete Holmes thought that 20 days would be appropriate. Now, the judge gave, you know, the most she could, given that there was no cooperation from the city attorney whatsoever. She gave the guy 4 months in jail, and then he'll be back out on the streets. But when a judge tells the Seattle city attorney, you have a complete disregard for public safety, that is about as shocking and glaring an example of how our leaders are letting us down. All right, Pete, go smoke your bowl now. That's the big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. You know who should buy the Seahawks? I just thought about this. I was listening to your newscast.
Yeah, who?
Trump.
Oh, sure, because he doesn't have enough to do.
Well, yeah, but it'll give him something to do after 2024. Huh? Yeah, he could buy the team. He could, well, there probably won't be any anthem kneeling. Well, there hasn't been any this year anyway, so.
That couldn't happen. I was thinking, I threw out there, could Chris Hansen buy the team?
He doesn't have the money.
I know. I was like,
No. Now, it'll be a situation like the Mariners. They'll have a managing partner. And I mean, the Sonics, when Howard Schultz owned the team, Schultz just owned over 50%. And then there were a lot of little investors that had a piece of the action.
Apparently, when the Carolina Panthers got sold recently, that they found that actually the market for people who can actually purchase a team is fairly small because you need to have a lot of liquid wealth, which most people do not have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Paul Allen, the Seahawks are, Forbes has them valued at $2.6 billion. And Paul Allen's net worth was reportedly $20 billion, which, you know, you think about all that real estate in South Lake Union and the Seahawks and everything else, but he gave away a lot of his money.
He did.
And Paul Allen also signed on to the Giving Pledge.
Yes, the pledge, yeah.
Which several billionaires, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, where they've pledged to give at least half of their estates to charity. So,
well, we have another person with deep pockets, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Does he have any interest in sports?
Not that I've ever heard of. I have no idea. but I got to get him on the show.
You do.
And Drew, you only have one more day producing this.
Sure.
Get Bezos for tomorrow, please.
Is that Jeff Bezos?
Jeff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know who would be so upset if Drew got Jeff Bezos?
Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Oh, that'll show her for taking a couple days. Do it just to show Nicole
she's
a thing.
Enjoying or Ireland. Yeah. Just
absolutely.
Get Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Good call.
And if it helps when you're making the inquiry with their PR people.
Uh-huh.
I am a Prime member.
Ooh.
we should be able
to get in an hour or less then.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I don't think Jeff Bezos is going to buy the mayor, or the Seahawks, rather.
Somebody from the 206 said the Seahawks should sell the shares to the public like the Packers.
Never happened. Now, that's a unique situation, but that's never going to happen again. I've seen so many comments in the every news story about that. That's never going to happen again. There are too many billionaires who will want to put together a partnership that'll own the team. So I just, you know, we had John Nordstrom, the original Seahawks owner, on the show yesterday, and he told me when he was in studio a couple years ago, he said selling the team to Ken Behring was the greatest mistake he ever made in his life. And Ken Behring was awful. But you just hope that. Yeah, you know, like when the mayor.
I think anyone who follows Paul Allen, though, Paul Allen was the perfect team owner.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a hard act to follow.
Yeah, put good people in place, gave them the resources, let them do their job, didn't meddle, wasn't in it for personal glory. That's pretty unique. So yes, we'll see who steps up next. It is time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
And our Awesome Audio is brought to you by our friends, great local company, Brown Bear Car Wash. By the way, if you missed my comments on Kashama Sawant and her just ugly, ugly Facebook post about Paul Allen, check out our podcast when it goes up. I did it at noon today. I exposed her incredible hypocrisy because her charitable giving all goes to Kashama Sawant. And I gave you all the facts and details, but go check out our podcast for that. We'll get it posted right after I'm off the air here. The Trump derangement syndrome has cost a North Carolina high school principal her job. She saw a kid wearing it's like a baseball type jersey on the front. It says USA, and you see the torch of the Statue of Liberty, and on the back, Trump and the number 45, which is his presidency. The principal of the high school ordered the kid to take it off. He goes, why? His name's Matthew Collins. And she says it wasn't allowed at school. Well, the principal has now been fired. The kid's father, Michael, said his son was approached. It was at an extracurricular at a high school football game when the principal came up to him.
Number two.
The principal comes over sometime in the second quarter, motions him to come there, and says, you need to take the shirt off.
Kids have to change because she doesn't like his politics. The school statement.
We've reached out to the Board of Education for an on-camera interview about the incident, but were given this statement announcing that Gordon had been replaced. It also went on to say, Harnett County School supports and affirms students' rights to express themselves.
Oh, you can express yourself even if you're not a left-winger like your principal. What a country! And then number one, with the passing of Paul Allen 2 days ago, our staffer Andrew put together a great montage tribute to the great Seahawks leader.
Number one.
Look what he's stood for. Look what he's done. Look at all of the extraordinary, amazing places he's taken us to because he could.
He was absolutely amazing. He's such an interesting person. So smart, so good for this community and the things that he has done and meant to this town.
He was one of the earliest tech titans of our region who started giving back to our community.
And that's why you have such a robust educated, good middle-class workforce around here is because of people like him.
I've never met anyone in my life who wanted to do so much good in the world in such a big way.
He knew the names of the Mercury astronauts by heart, so as an adult, he bankrolled Spaceship One, first private vehicle to put a man into space. He grew up with a stack of National Geographics in the basement and loved fishing with his dad, so he built a ship to explore the ocean.
The discoveries, the science, everything that he went after just showed his spirit, his extraordinary spirit.
He was a one of the kind. We'll put the entire video up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Dory Monson. Today's sign coming up next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before I head out of here into this gorgeous afternoon, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign that the world is soon coming to an end. Do we by any chance have any Disney music? A little annoying, but I guess it'll do. A couple from Tennessee, Clark and Heather Ensminger, they are planning to visit 6 Disney parks in Orlando and Anaheim in one day. They say they're going to start their day at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, have breakfast, then walk over to Epcot. Then they'll go to the Magic Kingdom and finish their day at the Disney Animal Kingdom. Then they're going to get on a plane and fly to Anaheim, take advantage of the time change, go to Disneyland and California Adventure. Wait a second. Why is this a news story? So two people are going to go do stuff in Florida, get on a plane, and then do stuff in California when they land. Oh, nobody's done that before. And I have to listen to this music? Well, I'm talking about this stupid non-news story? Who thought this was a story? So they're going to go do stuff before and after they fly somewhere. Ooh, that's big news. And then I got this song. It's boring its way into my brain. It's not a story. I got to listen to this. What is happening? Jeez, sorry about that. Today's signed story number 2. Hey, congratulations to Rachel McKinnon, a man who just won the Women's Track Masters Cycling World Championship in Los Angeles this weekend. In the 35 to 39 year age division, Rachel is biologically a man, but identifies as a woman. And so he competes in the women's division. He represents Canada. And a lot of people say, oh, no, no, if he identifies as a woman, you have to call him she. Well, no. On Twitter, he wrote, first transgender woman world champion ever. Now, if he wants to be a woman in any other aspect of his life, go ahead. I don't care. But when men are competing against women in women's divisions of sports, we're seeing this all the time. We had some boys who won girls' state track championships in Connecticut. In our state, the law of the land now is if you're biologically male in every way, but you say you identify as a female, you can play high school sports on the girls' teams. And in that regard, I am not going to call men women. I'm not going to call a he a she. There are gigantic biological differences between men and women. I'm going to exercise my right of free speech to be honest about it and say when a biological male competes against a female, it is patently unfair, and that person should not be given the courtesy of their choice of pronoun when biology suggests that that is a lie, that that is just simply wrong. McKinnon was unapologetic for beating out several actual women for the gold medal. He has previously complained about transgender competitors having to scale back their testosterone to compete. He was quoted as saying, Focusing on performance advantage is largely irrelevant because this is a rights issue. We shouldn't be worried about trans people taking over the Olympics. We should be worried about their fairness and human rights instead. What about the fairness for the women you compete against? What about their right to have a sporting event that isn't tainted by your biological advantage? And it's political correctness. It's this nonsense that we got to change our speech. It was like the story I talked about a lot last year, that couple of two men down in Portland. And everybody said that one of the guys was having a baby. Well, no, it wasn't a couple of two men. It was a man and a woman. The only person who can have a baby, you have to have the female body parts. And if you're carrying a baby, you are not a man. And the fact that so many in the media feel like they have to deny biological reality and call a woman a man in that case with child. They say, oh, first man to have a baby. No. That baby is inside female body parts. It's a female. And we're all supposed to just lie. We're supposed to change our language to deny reality. It's bizarre. And it's just stupid. So no, when a man wins, I mean, if that person, if Rachel wants to be a woman in most other aspects of his life, that's fine with me. And I'll even call him a her if it doesn't affect other people. But when you're biological, I mean, that's kind of the principle of libertarianism. And I'm not a strict, diehard libertarian. But the principle is you can do whatever you want as long as you don't negatively impact other people. So if that person wants to be a woman in all other aspects of that person's life, then I'm fine with that. I'll call that person a she. But when it's a biological male competing against women and negatively impacting the honest competitors in the race, I'm not gonna change my language for that. Ah, progress. We are so progressive, aren't we? And finally in today's sign, a manhunt is underway for a British Columbia man who went to Ripley's Aquarium in Toronto, stripped down naked, and did a backflip into the shark tank. There were 14 sharks in the tank. The guy fled, leaving his hoodie and T-shirt behind. Police have issued an alert and a photo of the man. I'm going to just read to you how the Canadian press is writing this story. While the stunt was greeted largely with merriment by onlookers and on social media, the aquarium is not amused. The aquarium says they want to charge him to the fullest extent of the law. The stunt fired up social media with mirth over the weekend. Ah, merriment and mirth. Who's more about merriment and mirth than me, huh? I gotta get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for today. But I'm gonna go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's big Thursday extravaganza. Enjoy this beautiful afternoon. The Ron and Don Show is coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Anna.
This show is truly good for nothing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.